mom's, where my mom's, where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's, where my mom's, where my mom's at?
Where my mom's at podcast with Christina P.
Ridiculous. That is the most ridiculous intro of all time for a mom podcast, but probably the most fitting. Welcome to the only podcast that I know of dedicated to making fun of the mom world. And we're going to do some real shit because, you know, I know a lot of you are tuning in and you're like, where is That's Deep Bro? I loved that show. And I want to thank everybody who listened to That's Deep Bro. You know, that had a time and a place for me as a project. And I think I just need to move into a different chapter, you know, because I got deep for so long. And well, they're all still up. They're still, it's all going to be there for you. So I will not take down That's Deep Bro. If you want to go back in the archives and relive my misery of the last few years, basically it's me being in therapy. But this show is different as we are going into motherhood. I am growing up. I am evolving. And you guys are my friends because I have no fucking mom friends. So I don't know. I'm hoping to make like a mom community with this show. This show is going to be led by you, the listeners, the viewers. You guys send me your things. Where my mom's at. Is it Where My Mom's At podcast or just Where My Mom's At?
Where My Mom's At @gmail.com.
There you go. Send me your mom fails, your mom questions, your struggles, your fears, your hopes, anything. And I will put it on this show and we're going to have a great dialogue. I sounded like Garth Brooks. Anyways, come see me do stand up live September 5th, Milwaukee, September 6th, Chicago, 7th, Boston, Massachusetts, and October 3rd through 5th, Nashville, Tennessee, and then November 22nd, Seattle, and November 23rd, Portland, Oregon, finishing out the year, the Ride or Die Tour. Tickets at Christina P. Online. Crazy, crazy year.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So, anyways, let's get into it without further ado. I just have to tell you that I feel as though I've changed as a human being a mom, and by this I mean I'm not as dark anymore as I used to be. And I don't know if that's because of, like, I have to care for two little people, and I've softened, I still listen to The Clash, man. I still put a fucking brick in it, but now when I see like somebody being a douchebag in public, I think to myself like, oh, that's somebody's douchebag son, or that's somebody's douchebag daughter. You know, at one point they were a baby, and gosh, well, you know, I'm becoming more empathetic. And in light of that, I've also become lamer the older I'm getting. And this last weekend I got into Taylor Swift. Don't judge. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that is so lame. Yeah, it's lame. And you know what? I'm a middle-aged mom and I'm lame. And I freaking love Taylor Swift. She's so
cool. Oh. Moms.
Not like a regular mom. Yeah. I'm a cool mom.
I'm not a regular mom. I really like Taylor. She's very positive. I like her messages. She's an inspiration. And I'm also on TikTok. I know some of you know that you follow me on the gram. And I like Willow Smith too. Who am I? Who am I? I'm wearing baggy sweatshirts with tigers on them. It just happens. I'm into fanny packs. It's just part of being a mom. It makes you normal. Okay, so I'm going to open with this clip. I got, who sent this to us?
This is from Liz B.
I love, she sent this to me. Okay, let's just roll it. It's so great.
Yesterday, we were going to a water park, and my four-year-old was watching me change into my bathing suit, and he said, Mom, your boobs are growing. They're getting longer. I wanted to shoot myself in the head. But instead, I put on a bathing suit and went to the water park.
Hey.
It was fun.
Atta girl, Liz. Did you hear? That's a two-part story. I was in the closet one time with my older son, Ellis, and I took my bra off and he just started pointing and laughing. So I totally understand. I love it. It's just a fact. Your body just gets trashed after children, especially if you have them older, and you know what you do? You go to Nordstrom or wherever, somewhere nice, and you get a nice bra. You just have to get fit. I swear to God, because so many of us are still wearing the size bra that we had on, you know, in high school. And girl, your titties changed. You need to go get your bra fit properly. But good for her that she got in her mom bathing suit. That's what's up. And you have a good time. And that's why I love that clip, Liz, because yes, your boobs are now mushy and soggy and hangy and your body's destroyed. But that shouldn't stop you from having a life and having a good time, because you sacrificed that body to have amazing children. You gave the goddamn miracle of life. You should not feel ashamed of that. Okay, so now, as long as we're into tits, I'm sorry, breasts, let's talk about, oh, I got this. Is this a voicemail?
Yeah.
Yeah, this woman submitted a great breastfeeding mom hack. This is great.
The one and only mom hack is breastfeeding and co-sleeping. Anytime my daughter would wake up hungry, I'd literally roll over, drop a titty in her mouth, and go back to sleep. I'm surprised she made it. She'll be 7 this summer.
Yeah, see, I've heard this before. I have friends that do that. They co-sleep with their babies, and then you literally wake up in the night, and you just pop up your shirt, baby latches on, and then you roll over and go to sleep. Now, I would have loved to have done that with my children, except the person I sleep next to is a huge grizzly bear who has no sense of space, and he snores very loudly. There's no way we could have kept an infant alive sitting or sleeping between the two of us. So great mom hack. The only thing I would say is that eventually it gets hard to sleep with a baby in between the two of you, and you may want to fuck again. So my producer has a question. He says, when do you move the baby out of the bed? He types to me on this magic screen. You move the baby out of the bed if you decide to do sleep training, which is something I've done, and I thought I'm going to get into it on a few episodes from now. I'm bringing in a doula, actually my doula, who's going to explain sleep training and how that works. Around 12 weeks old, the baby is, that's 3 months old for those of us that don't do math very well, you can stop co-sleeping and put the baby in the crib, and you can begin the process of sleep training, which is what we did. I kept the baby in a bassinet next to me. I did not put the baby in, and stop typing.
All right, well, that doula was in the first episode.
Sorry, is this episode 2 now?
This is episode 2.
Oh, for fuck.
It's all right, we're doing this out of order, but you know what, you're a mom, you're doing the best you can. I'm doing, and we all appreciate it.
Motherfucker, thank you. I got no brain. I didn't sleep last night because my baby woke up 3 times in the night. I'm barely hanging in. Okay, yeah, so sorry, we spoke with Missy, but anyways, there you go. No judgment on these co-sleepers, but it does ruin your life in the long run. It can. I mean, I know stories where people, they co-sleep, and then a year later, they're still co-sleeping, and the husband's sleeping on the bed, and no good. Okay, let's do this next voicemail. This is a question. This is what would Christina P. do, right, Nadav? We're going to do that. Oh, for God.
You got mom questions? CP's got mom answers. What would Christina P. do?
Hello. Okay, let's play this voicemail.
Hi, Mommy. Father's Day just happened, and it's real weird because my dad's dead. And my mom, I don't have a great parental example from either of my parents. And so now, as a dad, I was wondering, how do you, find yourself as a mommy, knowing that, you look back at your parents and you're like, what the fuck were they doing? You know, and you can't really ask them for advice. So what do you do? Because I don't know what to do.
Oh, jeans. I'm sorry, Mommy. That's a really tough thing. You know, Leanne Kreischer and I both grew up with mentally ill mothers. My dad is an alcoholic, so I totally get it. And what I've done is really just get my ass into therapy, no lie. Like, that's number one, is get thee to therapy. Because you're going to repeat a lot of patterns unconsciously if you don't. Repeat them, meaning you're going to do the same shit to your kids that was done to you. And also, what no one tells you is that raising children, the reason it's so difficult, yes, it's physically exhausting in the beginning, but it's emotionally exhausting because you're constantly being triggered by whatever it is the kid's doing. Because let's say your parents are two. You were two when your parents divorced, and now you're raising a two-year-old. Like, just having your kid be the age that something traumatic happened to you, it can, like, bring up all your issues. So you really should go to a therapist and kind of try to do as much housekeeping as you can before you have a little one. And secondly, I've learned to just really, like, trust myself because, you know, you have all the answers unless you're severely fucked up inside. if you're generally a healthy enough human and you got your act together, you should be able to kind of navigate it intuitively. And if not, if you don't feel like you can trust yourself, look to your examples. You know, I was so fortunate enough. I had this great family, my friend Shauna. You know, I hated being home. And so her and my friend Jenny, I would go and live at their houses basically for like days on end. And I learned to, I watched how they parented, how her parents parented them and how they interacted. And I was like, whoa, my family is definitely not this way. But sometimes when I'm sitting, I think, well, what would Shauna's mom do? Like, I literally go like, oh, I wonder what Shauna's mom would do here. Yeah. And you can read a bunch of books. I've read a bunch of parenting books, but quite honestly, I find them to be very annoying. Like, there was this one book I read that kept saying the phrase emotional muscle. It was like, you need the emotional muscle, emotion. And I was like, I'm going to blow my goddamn brains out if I have to hear this stupid catchphrase. There's another great book out there called The Good Enough Mother. About good enough parenting. And that's been really helpful for me as a I tend to be perfectionistic with my parenting because, you know, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing either. I don't think anybody knows what they're doing. Quite honestly, from what I'm learning is that we're all kind of winging it and we're all just hoping that we don't raise sociopaths or serial killers or drug addicts, right? Okay. Next. What is this one? This one's an email.
Yeah, this is an email from Sarah.
Oh my gosh. Oh, this one's great. Yeah. So she writes, hi, Christina. I don't know if this is a mom fail. I would call it a confession. I'm a new mom and being home alone with my newborn required me to do some pretty desperate things. I'm sure others can relate. One of the most memorable things I did was finding myself having to take a massive shit while my baby was asleep on me strapped into her baby wrap. And this was not a normal shit you can just hold in. It was the morning coffee shit that comes without warning. So I sat on the toilet doing the deed with her strapped on. She slept through it all. Poor thing. Can anyone else relate, Sarah? Yeah. I have a joke about this in my act. I think I've taken a shit with both my children sitting on my lap. Bonus points if you breastfeed at the same time. That's called the Milwaukee milkshake. Go ahead. Yeah, it's nutty. It's nutty because they don't want to leave you too. And it goes beyond the newborn phase. And then it goes to the toddler phase where they don't want you to be away from them for more than 2 minutes. And so you have to shit with a toddler. And sometimes I used to have two dogs, a toddler and two dogs watching me. And then, and what's the best part is that eventually they will torture your husband the same way. And Tom in the beginning was so resentful when Ellis would be like, I want to go with you making a poo poo. But now he just has to, you just have to let them watch you brown. And also, I don't show him my b-hole. I don't show him my vagine. I don't think that's appropriate. But eventually your toddler's going to want to see your poop too. So be prepared for that one. That's another one the books don't tell you. Ellis is obsessed with seeing our poops. He wants to flush his own. Nadav is like, what? They want to see it because they're grappling with pooping themselves. So yeah, I've pooped many times. Have you pooped with your baby or toddler sitting on your lap? Go ahead and... send me a voicemail.
Wait, so how do you deal with that when your kid wants to see your poop? I mean, do you let him see it, or do you kind of convince him that, you know, that's not something that big boys do or something? I mean, how do you navigate that?
Well, they're learning about making browns. So look, my theory has always been like, if you don't make a big deal out of it, and if you're open, then they won't make a big deal out of it too, right? Like I just let him see my dumps, quite honestly, and Tom shows him his dumps too. Is that weird?
I don't think so.
Right? Because how else do you know how to make a brown if someone doesn't...
Time to get...
Whoops, that was a mistake.
Guys, this is episode two. We're still learning. We're still learning.
Catch me outside. How about that?
I'm not a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. Yeah, you have to learn somewhere, right? I don't know. I'm of that school. Now, when it comes to like the masturbation talk, I don't think Tom should show our son. This is your penis. Okay. Next, what do we have?
Ooh, now
oh
we have,
my gosh.
We have a really fun voicemail.
This one's crazy. This one made me LOL and then CRY because I'm like, I can totally see this happening to me. I would die.
Hello, my name is Jessica. And when my son was pretty young, I don't know, 3 months old, and my first and only child, I had him in the bassinet and I took a shower, but all my clean clothes were in the garage in the dryer. So I left him in the bassinet and went out to the garage with no clothes on and got locked in the garage. And all of the doors and windows in the house were locked. And I had to go to the neighbors in a coat and a towel that I found, a beach towel and a bright orange hiking jacket, to the neighbors in tears to call my husband to come home from work and let me in to get my infant son.
Oh.
And there's been many more fails since then because he's 5 and a half now. So have a great day.
Oh, that's my worst nightmare, and I can totally see.
It's now time for How I Almost Killed My Kid This Week.
I know. We should have played that before the voicemail.
Yeah, we're still figuring that out. Yeah, sorry about that.
But that's totally. I mean, that's my worst. My worst nightmare is actually taking my kids somewhere and then locking them in the, like, leaving them in the car and forgetting, like, going into a store or something. I still have panic attacks where I'll be laying in bed and I'll be like, I've forgotten the kids somewhere, the baby somewhere. It's so horrible. I can't imagine. I haven't been locked out naked yet. Have I been locked out? Yeah, of course. I hide keys now everywhere. That's another part of my crazy mom brain. I hide keys strategically in the backyard because it's fucking scary. Okay, so a woman named Hope wrote in. Oh no, she left me a voicemail, but then it cut her off. So with the magic of technology, I'm going to call this person back and let's hope they answer and we can have a discussion. She asked a question about at-home birth versus hospital birth. What the F? Do we want to allow to use the internal microphone?
Sure.
Sure. Okay, it's calling. Do you hear it? Oh, here we go. Amazing technology. This is bananas. This is blowing my mind.
Hello?
Hi, is this Hope?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Hope. It's Christina P. How are you?
I'm great. You?
Hi, good. Thank you for talking to me. I'm so excited. You're my first call on Where My Mom's At.
Oh, you're my first call on any kind of podcast, radio show, anything. So.
Oh, how exciting. So, first of all, where are you calling from? What part of the world are you in?
Indiana.
Indiana. Indian apple tits, right? That's the city I know.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just...
So you're preggers. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm 26 weeks.
Ooh, that's the best time. That's like when you're in second trimester, so you're probably looking all cute. You stop barfing. How's it going for you?
I'm good. I hear it only goes downhill from here, though. Everyone's like, it's gonna get heavier. You're going to get fatter. It's all down here from here. This is the peak.
Yes. Now, are you healthy? Like, are you having a healthy pregnancy so far? No complications?
No complications, luckily.
Good. So what was your question? Because when you left me a voicemail, it cut off.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I kind of had two questions because I was kind of rambling about my own opinion about whether or not there should be an at-home birth or an in-hospital birth. Mm-hmm. And then also I just asked if you had any issues with nurses because a lot of people in my family have, like, just being generally
yes.
rude.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Let's start with the second question first. I have had nurses who changed my life who have been, there was a nurse on my second birth, my son Julian, who would so lovingly wash my vagina that I fell in love with her. Like, after you give birth, they wash your vag for you because it's all blown out, you know? And this nice lady would just lovingly use that bottle and just spray warm water on my vag. And like, she would talk to me and like sing to me. No, she didn't sing to me. But I was like, I think I love you. Can we do this again tomorrow? And I, yeah. And then there were nurses who were complete see you next Tuesdays. So I would, here's what I would, if you can, have someone in the delivery room with you. Let's say you go with a hospital birth. It sounds like you're reluctant to do a hospital because of the nurse thing. Is that accurate?
Honestly, I'm still on the fence. So my mom had her best friend in the delivery room when I was born.
Aww.
And she had to catch me as I came out because the nurse was not paying attention. And I have this like flat part on the back of my head and I'm self-conscious about it. And I feel like it's all her fault.
Oh, wow. So you have this woman dropped you. Oh, my God. So no wonder you're not into a hospital birth. That kind of makes sense. So,
yeah, right now I'm just trying to work it out, like logistically, because it costs less to pay for a midwife.
Yes.
And do it at home. Like, but then if there's a complication or something, you have to go to the hospital anyway, and you end up paying for both. And it's, I don't know, it's a lot.
That's true. So, look, I had a hospital birth both times, but I have had friends who have given birth in their living room. I had a friend all three of her kids in her living room here in LA, 10-pound babies too, and healthy, and everything was fine. I've had people do birthing centers, which are near hospitals. She had to go to the hospital to have a cesarean, but I mean, look, research, obviously what makes financial, I'm not a doctor. Have I mentioned that? I'm a fucking comedian that's just had two children. But from my friend's experience, like, you can totally do it at home. That's why I asked you, do you have any complications like gestational diabetes or anything that would require, like, you're young. You sound young.
Yeah, I'm 26.
Yeah. So I don't know. And if there are no complications, I would say hiring a reputable midwife, and you could do it at home. And yeah, if the shit hits the fan, be close. Are you close to a hospital?
Oh yeah, I am. But that's kind of the issue. I'm from Indiana, so like I'm close to hospitals that like in LA, like you probably have the best type of doctors and nurses, but you know, we don't really have the most skilled people around here.
So you don't trust the medical community there is what you're saying?
Yeah, if you're a really good doctor, you would go to like a bigger city or a better place for better pay, I would assume.
Okay. Well, how about this? Because I had two hospital births. I'm not as well versed. Like I said, I have friends. Home birthers, are there any home birthers are you in Indianapolis proper? Or around there?
No, I'm in Bloomington, which is a bit south.
Great. Can you guys write in where my mom's at gmail.com if you're in the Bloomington area and if you've had a home birth or a hospital birth, if you can give this woman any insight. Her name is Hope. insight. And you know what, Hope? I will read it on an episode coming up, or I'll just call you back. But I will read it on this episode so people can hear the information as well.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
Thank you. But
you know what, man? I got to tell you, you got to go with your gut here because you know your body and you know, and so much of what I've learned is with birth is that if you're in your head and you're freaked out, your body's not going to relax to do what it needs to do. So whatever is going to make you feel, I mean, this is just my, like, I don't know, I'm not a medical professional, but whatever's going to make you feel at ease, do that. And if you think being in your home or maybe going to a birthing center, being in your own tub or walking around is going to help you, then fucking do that. It's your body. It's your birth. How are you doing with pain? What's your threshold?
Honestly, like I'm not afraid of the pain. Everyone tells me I should be, but like I've had painful experiences in my life, and when I reflect on them, I'm like, I don't really remember how painful that was. Like, you kind of just forget.
Yeah.
So even if it's really painful in the moment, when it's done, that's it, right? So like, that's, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, contractions come in waves. And so I've only felt contractions up to about 4 minutes apart, and then I had epidurals. So at 4 minutes apart, they're pretty intense, but they're obviously women do it all the time. What else was I gonna fucking say to you? I wish I'd slept last night and I can remember what the heck I'm talking about. But I do think it's up to you. And do you have a good midwife?
Well, I've I've only talked to a couple of them online. I haven't, like, taken a huge step, mostly, honestly, because my family is just like, don't do it. Yeah, they're afraid something like crazy is going to happen. And I mean, there aren't a lot of people doing at home births in Midwest Indiana.
Oh,
I would assume.
I got you. Okay.
They're very unfamiliar with it.
Oh, okay. So that's a different story, because here in LA, we're complete nutbags, and there's a million. You can find any person to do anything. You can give birth in a creek if you want here. So I would go then with whatever is the most, feasible. What makes sense? What's for the safety of you and the baby? Because ultimately, you just want to get that kid out, and you want to get it out safely and make sure everything just goes on, you know? So do your diligence. Talk to the midwives that you can. Talk to the hospital. Take a tour of the hospital, I would say, before committing, just so you know what their maternity ward is like. How's your OB? You have a good doctor?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I've actually had like two different ones, because I had one, I went to one in my hometown when I first found out, and then I went to one here for like an ultrasound like a couple weeks ago. I'm trying to like go sparingly, because like I said, I'm not committing to anything.
Oh, you're trying to go sparingly. Yeah, I would talk to the doctor too. Maybe they know. Maybe your doctor has a resource you're not aware of, you know? I just try to gather information at this point, and I'm going to help you do that. So ladies out there in the Bloomington area, email me wheremymomsat@gmail.com. Let me know what you did. But again, it's a personal choice, you know? I don't know, man. Sorry.
Honestly, I'm probably going to go for it. I'm probably going to go for it. I needed someone to push me over the edge a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Make the commitment.
Because it sounds like you're leaning towards home birth. It sounds like that. Is that right?
Yeah, maybe. I was just I won't say I'm hoping that a nurse was mean to you, but I was hoping you'd have a really funny story about how some really mean nurse was like rolling her eyes at you in the middle of birth or something like that.
Yes, I do. I have many. I had, when I was pushing out my first kid, Ellis, literally in the process of pushing, the nurses had a shift change. So all the six people looking at my vagina left the room, and then like a new six people came in. That was fucking horrendous. And then on the second birth, every time I would push, if the push wasn't productive enough for them, they would literally roll their eyes and be like, no, no, no. They would go like, we're going to miss dinner. Yeah. Like, it was.
I would just have to go off on the nurse, like in the middle of the birthing process, like pause.
I know. Like, I know. Well, this one kept cracking jokes because she, I guess, knew we were comedians. And at one point, I had to be like, somebody get Shecky out of here, because I can't fucking deal with you. Like, you know, there's serious moments in your life. And when you're pushing a person out of you, you don't want some bitch joking. Look, but again, for every shitty nurse, I've had women that were just guiding angels of light. But it sounds like you want somebody to validate what you want. And if you want to have a home birth, have your motherfucking home birth. But definitely do your research, get your midwife, find some bitch that you trust, and make sure she's up to snuff medically so that she can detect if there is a problem and which hospital you should go to. And then research the hospital you should go to as well. Do a tour of the ward in case you do have to go down that road. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That sounds like what you're leaning towards. I hope. Hope.
Yes, Hope.
I love you, Hope.
Yeah, I love you too.
I got her to say I love you back. Well, I hope this helps, my love, and I'm going to keep you posted. We're going to keep an eye out for those emails from you guys, because this is, after all, a mom community, a real one. But good luck with your pregnancy, and I'm happy to hear that things are going well so far.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for having me on the show. I'm really excited about it.
I'm more excited that somebody actually wants to be on my show. So thank you. All right, Hope. Take care. Good luck. Gain weight. Enjoy eating. Fuck it. Fuck the points, man. You're preggers. Go for it.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Bye, sweetie. Okay. Back to the show. OMG. Moms, dads, I'm so excited today, because sitting next to me is the legend, the silver fox, Dr. Drew of Dr. Drew After Dark.
Thank this you is our time. This is our time.
This is our time.
This is it.
Dr. Drew of Dr. Drew After Dark. I've moved the shit so I can read what these things are.
There you go.
your show, you're here in studio jeans. Your audio is released.
We share this desk.
We share this very desk, but your show's much more profesh. The audio comes out Thursday mornings, and the videos are up Fridays at noon on YouTube. You can email Dr. Drew at drdrewafterdark@gmail.com, or you can leave him a voicemail, 818-253-1693. And just go to drdrew.com to catch up on all his shows, because he does a lot.
And I've never loved an audience more than the moms.
Really?
Really.
The mommies or moms?
All the whole mom house world. The mommies and your moms. Just because they're so enthusiastic and they're very appreciative and they're into it.
They're into it and they love you as much as I love you. And can I tell you something? And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I've been listening to you since I was 13.
That's weird.
So weird. But I just want to thank you for doing what you do and giving a rip about people the way you do.
I do care about people. I care about people like to a fault.
You think so?
Yeah.
Is it interfering with your life?
No, it's a kind of a codependency, but no, seriously, I can't imagine not being completely interested in the human experience.
Me too.
Why bother? That's what we're doing here.
Yeah, the unexamined life is not worth living.
And you need to call those guys from the unexamined life.
Stop it. They give me anxiety. They're way too smart. I can't do it. Okay. This is a separate conversation. Yeah. My cousin Shadi wants me to tell you that she's had a crush on you since she was 13. So shout out to my cousin Shadi.
Hi, Shadi.
And she also provided this opening clip that we're going to start
with.
Here you go. Let me set this up because it's not an audio clip. This father is wearing the cut-off jean shorts that his daughter wants to wear out in public.
Oh, yeah. I love this dad now.
Where are they at? Where are your butt-cut shorts?
Oh yeah,
the new ones that we just bought. They were supposed to be a lot longer.
Yeah, he's made his point.
Yeah,
point made. That's it. I always swore that if my kids got a bunch of tats, I'd just sleeve up. Just go, really? Here we go. Let's go. It's on.
Now I wanted to ask you because you have three very successful, healthy, happy adult children.
Yes.
Did you ever have to do this to your daughter?
Oh, I'm sure I did stuff like that. I mean, I maybe not quite that. I'm not that creative. That I would think to do that.
Yeah, I don't see you doing that.
No, but I'm sure we've done stuff to scare them.
Yeah, you think fear is a strong motivator. I believe in fear too.
As long as you are super clear that you're not just blowing smoke.
Uh-huh.
Like if you have to be the executioner. You have to literally care as little as the guy that's chopping heads off. You just got to that's part
this.
Of parenting.
Consequences is what
you
saying.
You have to deliver the consequences and you have to go, look, it kills me.
Yeah.
But you did it, and I got to deliver.
Well, you know what? That segues perfectly into this first question that I have for you. This is actually from a friend of mine.
Okay.
She writes, I was raised by an Asian immigrant parents who were...
As though she's not Asian.
Sorry. I was raised by Asian immigrant parents.
Right.
Where physical discipline was the norm.
Right.
Most kids raised by Asian parents...
And notice how she already glosses it. Physical discipline. It's called abuse.
It's called beating
physical
kids.
Abuse. Yeah, beating children.
You know, it's so funny. As I was just thinking about it, because I'm writing a bit about how my mother would hit me with a wooden spoon and how just barbaric that is now to even contemplate. But back in the 80s, I feel like people...
That's a very old country thing, the wooden spoon thing. Just the rap. It was not... You shouldn't hit you. She'd rap on you.
On my butt, yeah.
Yeah, it's a rap.
And it was called a fuckanal in Hungarian, a fuckanal. So I would grab my butt and I say, no fuckanal, mommy, no fuckanal.
No fuckanal,
no
mommy.
No fuckanal. I know the neighbors were like, what is going on?
Over there?
We're not going to do anything, but
oh
we're just going to wonder. Okay.
No fuckanal.
So here's what my friend writes. She goes, most kids raised by Asian parents can attest that unless your plan was to die a horrible death, you would never give any kind of attitude or backtalk to your parents.
Sure.
Cut to me now.
Or the parents would kill themselves.
Right. Shame, because it's another different culture. Yeah. Cut to me now raising my own kids at a time when every psychology and parenting book or blog insists that corporal punishment causes irreparable damage to kids and simply does not work.
Let's refine it, but go ahead.
Yes. She writes, overall, I would probably agree that there are better methods, but the attitude thing I can't seem to curb. Any advice on how to handle it? Because if my 7-year-old rolls his eyes at me one more time, I'm going to lose my fucking shit. Unpack it. Go for it.
When one of the jobs of being a parent is taking yourself out of it.
What does that mean?
And like remove yourself from it. So if you're having emotions, you gotta, I mean, we do, but you have to kind of remove yourself from it. Like we found ourselves yelling a lot with three kids. We're yelling, we got something's wrong with this. We went and saw a behaviorist. He gave us a book. He said, do this, this, this. We missed things steps earlier that we should have been doing. So we didn't get to the point where we were yelling. Mm. You need to apply discipline uniformly and regularly and early.
How early?
It takes a lot of energy. But I don't mean early in life so much as early in the process.
Early in the process, 3 years old, two years old?
No, 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 no. Oh, yes, 3 and 2 years old. But I mean things that we let slide.
Yes.
You can't let slide.
Such as throwing a cup. My kid throws a cup.
Action.
Consequence.
Consequence, boom.
You
can't let things go downstream.
Uh-huh.
And that's a key part of it. And there are, so let's talk about the corporal punishment mm-hmm. thing. There are always better and more effective ways to shape behavior mm-hmm. than hitting. Always.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one time it's technically okay to hit is if the kid does something that you need to stop immediately, like running in front of traffic or something. Boom. I don't care what you got to do. You got to stop it. Okay. But there are always better ways. And there's a direct relationship between probability of physical use of physical force, let's say, and increase in the behavior you're trying to stop and increase in other behaviors down the line.
Interesting. So you're saying if you do hit your child, it's actually going to increase the bad behavior.
The behavior will stop and then it will come back. It will come up back above the baseline.
And why is that?
Because it's not a good way to shape behavior.
Because kids get
indignant. Like,
yes.
Oh, you're really? Okay.
Yeah.
Now I'm looking for ways to get around you and deal with you.
Oh,
and you're
so smart,
right.
So crafty. Yeah.
As opposed to systematically applying, time out or whatever it is you need to apply, taking things away. Taking things away is the most powerful shaping of behavior.
Well, I was going to ask you that. So you're saying give consequences, I'm assuming, that are age appropriate.
I having not done this in 25 years I'm imagining there are new ideas about how to apply those consequences, but I definitely am of the opinion, and I know I'm not wrong, early, systematic, consistently, and often. And
correct.
In fact, even applying stuff randomly just to let them know who's in charge.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes. So it could be taking toys away.
Taking toys away is a great motivator. Taking
privileges
away. Time away. Taking away from social situations. Whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
Learn how to do it. Do it liberally.
Now, I have a great friend of mine. She's got 4 children, all
Ouch.
Under like 9 and under.
Can you imagine?
And they are so well behaved. They came to my son's first birthday
party. Asian? Did she mention him?
She's a black lady.
Oh. Okay.
And let me tell you, I'm going to have her on this show to give her wisdom. She's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But she said that to me. She goes, my children are well behaved in the grocery store. And a woman came up to me and said, how are they so well behaved? She goes, well, because they know if they get out of line, we're all going home.
That's a perfect
thing
to do. It's and it's not with great emotion. See, this is the thing. You stay out of it. You're
uh-huh.
like, you're just the executioner. It's like, well, that's it.
Too bad. Consequence.
I didn't do it.
And
we're going.
Exactly right. And
if you're crying, it's not about me.
Not my
you
problem.
Did it. You did it.
And let them cry and let them have their tantrum mm-hmm. is what you're saying
Absolutely.
As well. And don't try to.
I found that part difficult.
That's tough.
Because I would always end up picking them up and putting them in something as opposed to just sitting there while they had their tantrum. Though it was always more effective if I could just sit.
And let it go.
Let it go. Yeah.
Let it ride.
Because
that's not neglecting them. That's just being there
present while they learn to regulate their emotions.
And that's enough, right? Mm-hmm. To teach them how to regulate their emotions.
It's one of the ways. You got to attune to it pretty carefully. And that's not an optimum environment, because optimally you want to reflect emotions and be
correct.
In a connected face to face.
Ask them how they feel, stuff like that.
I'm not a big, well, I would argue that maybe more is made of language than should be.
Mm.
It's not so much about talking.
Interesting.
I think we talk too much. Let's put it that way.
What is it about?
Bodies in space relating to each other. Just being attuned, being mm-hmm. focused, being present for that person. And then whatever spontaneously comes up, certainly saying it.
Mm-hmm.
But not so much, to a 3-year-old, what are you feeling? It's like,
they don't know what the heck's happening.
They don't care.
But you're right, because I find that when my 3-year-old is acting up, if I just sit there and be with him,
correct.
Hey, why don't we sit down? Let's have a snack. Why don't you sit on my lap? Let's do something.
Huge.
And then
huge.
He calms down and he stops. Mm-hmm. But I think that what's really interesting about her question, if my 7-year-old rolls his eyes at me, I'm going to lose my fucking shit. So she's really, that's a lot to say, I'm going to lose my
shit. Right, just because the kid goes, ugh.
So what's going on there?
She's having the reaction from her childhood.
She's
right?
being triggered.
Triggered in some way.
And by the way, I like to point out, because I talk about that a lot on this show, is this is not to blame children. Like, I'm never being like, my kids are shitty. What it is your kids are going to be kids and act how they act. And then it just, your wiring gets activated.
Right, well, and your history. And so in this case, she probably is, I would guess, extremely jealous that the child can have a reaction to her, which she called, what did she call it?
Attitude.
Yeah, attitude. She considers that talking back her attitude, even though it's just a kid going, okay.
Expressing his or her.
And if you want to curtail that, it's a little rough, but okay, you can try to do that. But can't have a reaction where you're going to lose your shit just because a kid's having a natural reaction.
Mm-hmm.
That's your stuff.
And that's a big thing in parenting too.
It's always your stuff.
It always is your stuff, mm-hmm. isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's 100% right.
And so what we do as parents is we either overcompensate for what happened to us.
That's what I'm doing.
I always do that too.
Oh, God, my kids have the best life.
You ever talk to them with a heavy accent or anything?
The fucking time, you motherfucker. Like, my mother was terrible cursing at me all the time.
But not yelling.
Both ones cops would better. I'm going to hit your head so hard.
Just contempt. No yelling.
No contempt.
That was contempt.
That's what my mother gave me.
That's what I'm saying. But no yelling. We had a long talk on your mom's house about contempt and Tom's proclivity to get near contempt, but not actual contempt.
Oh, my gosh. No, he was. So I wanted to bring up something you and I casually discussed in the lobby as well when I saw you last time on your mom's house. The importance of mom.
Oh, my God. It's ridiculous.
Let's talk about that.
So here's what I noticed as a father, which is here we had triplets, right? So we're trying to deal with that thing.
I don't know.
And I really started looking at all the other mom stuff, and I felt like these children took a hose and attached it to mom's body and sucked out all her energy and soul. and that was what happened all day. And would never attach it to dad. Dad had no interest in having it. Dad, there's some connection and some whatever, but that hose never gets hooked up.
What?
Why? It's always from mom. Always.
And to say this out loud is very taboo. I feel
Why?
As though, I don't know, because I feel it in my heart. It sounds complainy. But it's an honor and a privilege.
I want to say clearly that this doesn't mean that two dads can't raise a beautiful kid.
I'm
saying exactly the opposite of that.
And don't you gender my children.
And,
go ahead.
Or two moms, and one of them gets, maybe one even gets identified as mom and the other doesn't.
Course,
who knows?
Yes.
And maybe some moms aren't as good at this connector. Some kids aren't as needy of this as others. But I definitely saw this in my own kids, and I've noticed it over and over and over again. And it's certainly in the psychiatric literature, the psychoanalytic literature, how everything at the beginning is about mom. And I would argue that you have this big corpus callosum, so you're accessing more of the right brain. And before language, right brain interaction is what we're all into.
Mm.
That's all you got.
And what does that mean, right brain interaction?
Attuned, holistic mind reading. You're sort of attuning to what's happening to the child. And all the best I could do was walk behind my wife and go, how did you know that? What do I do next? How did you know that?
And
it's just like some sort of weird like magic act to me. I thought, wow, this is different. This is it. And I'm attuned.
Yes.
I wasn't probably as good then as I am now, but I was a fair, I was attentive at least, a focused person. And
You think that the mother has a certain level of attunement that the father.
No doubt in my mind.
And why is
men
that?
Men can develop, but we really have to work at it to develop.
And why is that? Why?
Because that's how nature, that's what evolutionary biology did to us.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, you
it
guys
should be
are
that
out,
way.
Fighting.
Maybe, bring
leopards.
The mammoth and stuff and keep bringing the meat home and whatever. And
Yeah, and
we should be very attentive, and we should be and be super, super clear. This is one of the things that drives me crazy about people that don't want to talk about the biological differences between men and women. If you want to make things equal, you have to first start talking about what's real.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do we get to equality then? How do we get to exactly the same? If we want equality of outcome with men and women, which I think most of us do, if there are differences, if we understand those differences, that'll help us get to equality of outcome.
Oh, you're saying some dangerous stuff right now
I disagree, though.
I disagree, too. What you're saying is rational.
I've noticed, I talked to a guy, a really interesting scientist on one of my podcasts, and
Jordan Peterson?
He was taking issue with Jordan Peterson and Sam Harris, and he said that they were, in the name of speaking truth, they were still being biased and bigoted. And I thought, no, they're all about let's just discuss the truth and then we can. And he had some good points.
Yeah.
If you're going to discuss the truth, you have to be very careful.
Yes.
You have to make sure all sides are represented in addition to how you put the truth out.
But there's no objective reality anymore, don't you know? It's all. And there's no gender. We're all just one big.
Reality is objective.
It's objective. Yeah.
There's a great scene in Annie, Love and Death. Do you know the movie Love and Death?
No.
Valley? Oh, you would love it. It's a Woody Allen film.
I've never seen that one. Is it an old one? The 70s?
Old one, 70s.
Oh, I got to look it up. I'll watch it tonight.
It's about, it's a takeoff of every Dostoevsky and Tolstoy novel.
Those are my jams.
Smashed into one.
Those are my jams.
And he makes fun of the philosophy. He makes fun of it. In a very high level, subtle way.
I love
way.
It. Okay, listen, I only have you for a half hour, and there's so many voicemails.
Okay.
Do you want to do...
You promised you'd watch Love and Death tonight.
I will. I swear to God. I will.
Pay attention.
I promise.
Not be attuning to kids at the same time.
Let's talk about... I'm saying not tuning in to kids. No. They're
watching a movie.
Fucking sleeping.
Okay, good.
And mom does
okay,
CBD good. Oil, and I chill out. That's my time.
Oh, nice.
Which segment do you want to do next, Christina?
I would like to get into some sexual questions, because I think I've been getting a lot of voicemails about sex after...
After babies.
Yes.
It's a thing.
It's a freaking huge thing. I'm trying not to curse so much. Do you have one on deck, Nadav, that you can play? All right, because I have one that I can read.
Nadav is so good at selecting the voice
messages. Yeah, why don't you go ahead and read the first
one,
and I'll find a good question.
He sets them up very subtly and then blows our mind.
He's so great. Big love from UK. Hi, mommy. UK mommy here. My baby is 8 weeks old.
Oh, boy.
I know. All I hear from everyone.
God bless you.
Hey, wait, you're in the weeds, man. You're in the dark forest. Wait until 12 weeks. It gets a little better. Okay.
Little.
Okay, like here months. We go. So she says, all I hear from everyone is it your first? Then they laugh when I say, she's my only. I'm not doing that again. I had such a horrible time with the birth that it has traumatized me so much. And she writes, I was terrified of having an epidural, but had to have one. My fiance had to put me in a headlock while they administered it, as I was crying and being hysterical.
Maybe she shouldn't have another kid.
I know. I'm like, first of all, the epidural is your best friend. Did your wife, she probably had cesarean with triplets.
Oh, we were high tech. We had triplets. I mean, she was in the hospital for 6 weeks before we had babies. I mean, it was a mess. Yeah.
And
she almost died afterward too.
Why?
She went into shock, and she, you know, three circulatory systems are removed from your body. She gained 50 pounds, lost 50 pounds, lost 50 on the table.
Yes.
With the flu, there's 20 pounds of baby, 20 pounds of fluid, right?
Yes.
And she'd had a Bell's palsy, which her circulatory volume had been expanded so much that it choked off the facial nerve as it comes out of the skull here. So as they put her on anti-inflammatory, put her on steroids in moderate high doses, and then didn't give her stress steroids after the babies were out, and she went into shock. She really almost died. It was really catastrophic.
Yeah, man. But you know, birth is no joke.
No kidding.
And
it's weird that humans survived in nature. It's just weird.
How did we do this before science? Before before doctors were washing their hands?
Very few.
Remember, there's a story. Yes. The guy that started washing his hands because women were delivering on top of corpses. Were you telling them? I don't know. Anyway.
Anyway, here we are.
Okay, of course it worked, but I also ended up in theater for a Vontuse and episiotomy. Yeah, girl, I had two of those. It's no fun. We ended up staying in hospital for almost a week. I like how the Brits say
in hospital.
In hospital. And the thought of being pregnant again makes me want to jump in front of a bus.
Well, you know what's going to be weird?
Yeah.
We experienced this too. We're like, oh my God, this is so awful, so awful. At 2 years of age.
Yeah, I know.
When the kids are two.
I know.
You look at them and you go, they're so cute. We should do that again.
And you
have absolute amnesia to the first year. It's the most bizarre amnesia. Both the father and the mother get the amnesia.
No, that's when I kicked in too. And I was like, we got to do this again. I want another.
And then you have something called state-dependent learning, which is when you're back in that state, it all comes rushing back to you.
Yes.
And it's like, what the was I thinking?
Yeah, the minute that baby Julian came out of me, I was like, oh no.
Yeah,
I'm
here it
thrilled,
goes.
But oh
here it goes
no.
again.
Oh,
yeah.
What did I do?
I remember this.
Okay, so she says, it actually upsets me to hear people say things like, you'll have another before you know it, which is just what I said.
We're advising her not to. We're giving her permission not to. Young lady from Hempstead
the
Heath.
UK, yeah.
Do not have to have those babies.
But she says, it's that bad that I'm too scared to have sex because all I have in my head is sex equals pregnancy.
All right, she needs to get over that.
Yeah.
Because there are these things called birth control, all kinds of things she can do to prevent the pregnancy. Yes, including get him whatever, you know, get him tied or whatever. Just do something.
Well, I heard that's not 100%.
It is not, but to use a couple methods if you wish. But you don't have to get pregnant. Not today.
You don't have. So
it's
you're
ridiculous.
Telling
it's
her
it's ridiculous to be fearful of getting pregnant when you have all these great contraceptive methods.
But also keep in mind she's only 8 weeks postpartum, so I'm thinking she's got a little
bit
of that PPD.
You're correct, and I'm guessing you have other questions about postpartum. So right, coming
let's
up.
Let's go.
So we'll
let's
get into
let
this.
It rip.
Let's, literally tear.
Fuck. But well, hold on. Let's talk cord. Sex first of all.
Yeah, yeah.
So I, having had two episiotomies, a girl, I know, when you're, after you give birth, you're like, there's no way a penis is ever going inside there ever again.
Right.
This is mortifying.
And what's worse than episiotomy is a tear.
Oh.
That's why you
I know. That's why I'm thankful for
that's
the.
That's why you have the episiotomy. Yes. Exactly. And I've seen horrible tears, terrible tears, all the way through the musculature of the rectum. It can be bad. It can go all the way up into the pooper.
Yeah, that's how I had a full. Okay, anyways.
Yeah, but it can tear all the way up there, and then it's awful.
So let's talk about healing time. Let's talk about getting your mojo back.
I am always coaching up the dads to cool the jets and focus on being a father.
I like this.
And not stop worrying about when you're going to have sex.
Yeah.
Because you will eventually, and you've got to. There's a much bigger task at hand.
Yeah.
And protect and cherish and support your wife. Let her heal. Your penis will not fall off. Your penis will be fine.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah, boo-hoo. I can't
boo-hoo,
come.
Stop it.
Oh, I have to ejaculate.
Now, by the way, Nadav, if this is what she actually becomes like, it sort of offends me. But anyway, it's all right.
I'm offended, Dr. Drew. So, anyway. I have sexual needs.
So, but the God's plan was, or however, the great magnet or evolutionary biology or expanding entropy, whatever you want to call it, plan was that you would not have a baby for at least another year.
Correct.
Because there are not sufficient resources to have babies on top of each other. You're just speaking of how do we get by in nature. It would have been impossible.
So what you're saying is the body, after you give birth,
your,
it really
the female
takes
body,
a year.
A year. It takes a year for you, everything to kick back in. And even then you could need a little help with that. And understand that your aversion to the penis and your husband is biologically based. It's
well, not only that, I feel breastfeeding messes your hormones too. So
it
now
does.
You, doesn't it mess with your estrogen?
Everything.
So it's
everything.
Actually drier down there
everything.
And hurts more if you're breastfeeding.
Yes, breastfeeding just prolongs this whole process.
The prolongs the whole process of healing is what you're saying, or your vag kind of getting its
of just being not mojo. Available because your body's feeding somebody else and it's shut down to do that. It's closed for business so it can manage this biology.
So you're saying the first year totally reasonable. Now let's talk about.
And I'm not saying you shouldn't have sex in that first year. I'm saying you shouldn't go like this to your husband. Boo-hoo! You should not do that.
I need you ejaculating.
So you should be compassionate and be a good partner and try to, do what's reasonable.
Well, what I do is it's called the loving assist.
Because by the way...
Yeah, as Dan Savage says, a loving assist.
Well, by the way, there's something to it because you want to stay connected and you want to have
all this
kind
of want a marriage, for God's sake.
So it's not just dismiss it. Don't you know I'm recovering from a pregnancy? Yeah, it's pay attention.
No, I gave a loving assist. You do the bare minimum. You just do what you got to do to keep the husband around.
It took my wife, let's see, what's today? Tuesday. About 22 years.
Yeah.
To understand that men have a biology that needs to be
maintained.
Expressed.
Yes. It,
and especially
like anal glands
now
on a dog.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly like that. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, right?
So.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to take Bitsy in once every month. Otherwise, those glands get real full, and then she scoots around on the floor. You guys are like that. You need to be milked.
We do.
That's what I say to my husband.
That's why we run around dragging
milked.
Our asses on the floor. That's exactly why. There is fluid that must come out.
Yes.
It must come out. And even without, now if I'm without a prostate, now I don't create fluid, right?
Right.
Yes.
But you've still got...
But the same rhythm is still there. It's still all there. It's just not, it feels a little different, I must tell you. It's a little less imperative.
It's not, right. Like I have to do this right now.
This is like,
interesting.
Just like you'd have to... relief of anything else that needs to come out.
I don't want
to
talk about you ejaculating.
Don't worry about it. I don't do that anymore.
Dr. Drew, I love you so much. Silver Fox. So, okay, I'm going to hold on. So you're talking about 1 year, give yourself about a year, ladies, to get your mojo. And after once you stop breastfeeding, don't forget the estrogen.
It takes a while to start cycling normally. And yes.
And to get the juices flowing down there because it dries your vag out.
Yeah. The dry vag just means low estrogen. And
low estrogen because you're still breastfeeding, right?
Not everyone gets that. Sometimes it's worthy of getting a little estrogen cream in there sometimes, depending on how dry it gets.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
you can ask your gynae for that, by the way.
Correct.
And progesterone I was taking that. I stopped breastfeeding, but my cycles were all wonky, and I took progesterone pills.
Well, sometimes you just take the birth control pill. Take a
birth control pill.
Combo pill, and it gets everything kickstarted again sometimes. Sometimes.
But that makes women crazy, that goddamn pill.
It can, and by the way, no one discusses, this pisses me off, and the feminists want to take a good topic. This is the one I find infuriating. Which is, no one discussed, my profession does not ever routinely, which they should, sit women down and really talk to them about what we're doing to them with contraceptions, fertility treatment. Fertility treatment, we treat them like an incubator.
I've been through it.
Oh, you had the...
I did IVF with my second.
Oh my God.
Clomid with the first.
Did anybody tell you anything about how crazy making that was going to be and how incredibly unpleasant? Nothing.
No.
Just, here you go. We're going to give you a baby and get on with it. And it's like, it is horrible.
It's a lot.
It's horrible. And it pissed me off when my wife went through it. No one prepared her for this. And I, of course, didn't think it through. I should have been able to think it through. I did not. Same thing with birth control pills. We're using all these high-dose progesterones on women. All kinds of side effects. All kinds.
What do you think the long-term, because I believe it too, it's evil. I was on it for many years. And
the high progesterone, there's a guy named Goldstein.
Jewish.
Goldstein. It's all the same.
Gold, whatever.
So I'm blanking his name. I did a couple podcasts with him. He's a great guy. He has some research that shows that essentially the estrogen receptor is, there's sort of, generally speaking, two different kinds, a long one and a short one that some women have. And if I remember right, if you have this long one, you're going to have a lot of side effects from the progesterone predominant pills, and sometimes it's permanent.
Oh, God.
Even after you get off the pill.
So like what can happen to you? What is that side effect?
Dryness, you have mood problems, you can have decreased libido and things like that.
It's great being a lady. Okay, let's play some voicemail calls because we have him here and I just love having you.
Where are the mommies?
I know.
Hi, mommies. I have a question. My husband, I know this isn't mommy related, but for Dr. Drew, my husband likes when I don't take a shower before we have sex because he likes me to have a little bit of stank down there.
Yeah.
Is this normal or not?
Yeah.
I do not like it, but my husband thinks it's normal. So please help us.
Okay. How many times have you heard this question?
It's not abnormal. I've heard everything. It's not abnormal.
Listen to the expert here.
And if there was extreme issues, he would probably request the shower. But I think generally when guys do this, it sounds very animalistic and stuff like that. And there is something of that in there. But I think more than anything else, he doesn't want you grooming. He wants you to get on with the sex. You understand?
Oh.
He's like, it's not that he really, you're going to have the conversation about the stank. He's going to go, I like it.
Yeah.
He just wants to get on with business.
Oh.
You understand?
You just blew my mind. Right.
It's like, if you didn't bring up and let's just get on with it. I don't need the shower. And then she'll say, well, I smell it. I love your smell.
Oh.
Oh, see, he likes my smell. He loves it.
Isn't that funny? Right. That's so interesting, Drew. You're so smart.
Well,
here's
the deal. It's very hard for men and women to think in terms of the way the motivational priorities sit in our head.
Understand? Does it go, hold on, sex is number one, sandwiches, football, and then...
You have to put sex like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay.
And then sandwiches and football.
Sandwiches, football,
cars. And God saw fit, again, nature, whatever, saw fit to do that to a 13-year-old.
Which is the most bizarre
torture on earth.
And you've made your killing on Teen Mom because of these lunatics that have kids when they want to at 13.
Teen pregnancy is a marker for mental health issues, let's be fair. I mean, sometimes it's an accident, but you really talk to them, they always say, I know how to stop it.
What's the deal, man?
The baby's going to fix the problems.
And they want to be a mom. They want love, unconditional love.
Most of the time. I'm saying all the time, but a lot of the time it's a marker for something's going on.
Yeah, I love it. Mm-hmm. All right, next voicemail, let's go.
Hey, Christina P. and Dr. Drew. This is Ray Lawrence out of Lynchburg, Virginia. I had a question.
Lynchburg. Wow.
I've been in the same relationship for about 16 years. Just had our first child a year and a half ago.
Good for them.
Dr. Drew has brought up a couple of times in his own show about keeping the sex healthy in a relationship. How do you do that after so many years? What would be your recommendation, whether that's a book, a course, or... whatever. What
after
do you do
so
to keep it
years,
sexy in the bedroom?
You've been with Susan for like
35 years.
55 years. Yeah.
I don't like the sound of that after so many years.
I love it. Why is that? Let's talk about it.
it sounds like there's something missing, and I don't know what it is.
Like,
here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
When you're into your spouse, you think in terms of today.
Yeah.
And true. You're into your spouse today and your spouse yesterday, and now yeah. I'm still into my spouse tomorrow. Great. But yeah. when you, they're saying, oh, I'm tired after so many years. I don't know what the so many years is all about. Like, what has gone? What has
the baby? He's saying we had a kid a year and a half ago. Is it the kid?
Is it the kid? Is it she isn't as into you, or you aren't into her? So there's not, more often than not, I got to tell you, years of doing Loveline and stuff, the majority of the time it's something biological.
With whom?
Both or either. I mean, that biology is so important. Like we're just talking about, you know, during that year after, that's a biologically, the year after you have a baby, your biology is shut down. And getting that biology up again so that both of you can connect around it, because you will. You'll immediately re-find that thing you had 16 years ago.
100%.
It's the same thing. It's not gone away. It's the same.
100%.
But the biology can fade, and you must pay attention to that. So I would say, go back. I don't know if it's him. It could be him. Maybe you need to lose a few pounds and do some resistance training because testosterone can go through the floor. Is it her because she just had a baby? Make sure she talks to her doctor about that so they can get it going again.
Yeah, and okay? Ladies, ask your gynies for these things, these creams, these whatever it is. I'm serious.
Hey, but no one
ask.
And I'll tell you, the other piece where women are poorly attended to is in menopause.
Yeah.
They just do not. Susan, this is what you talked to her about.
She will
go on about it because she had early menopause. It was missed. They kept telling her she was depressed. This, that, and the other thing. She got on the right hormones and was like, oh, I'm pissed.
It's
and it took about 10 years before they got it right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's suffering. It's just suffering.
It's ridiculous.
And also I would say to the ladies out there, when you listen, you got to maintain the marriage. I don't know. How do you feel about sleep training? I wasn't going to bring it up. Did you sleep train your kids?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So do we.
We had three. You had to.
You had to.
Yeah. We had to. It was a survival thing for us. So. Yeah.
Well, and I know it gets such a bad rap, but I don't know.
These days there's mixed feelings about it and stuff. It was survival for us.
Yeah.
So far, no adverse outcomes.
Well, neither with our children, and we did it gently. There was no crying.
Well,
out,
and one of them ended up with a crib in our room for a little while because there's some stuff, and you just struggle with it. You just do it.
You struggle with it. You do it. But my point being that you have to maintain your marriage because your children will eventually get older, and if you don't have the bond, and sometimes, ladies, listen, you got to fake it till you make it. You know what I'm saying?
Love
you
that.
Don't feel like doing it, but you got, and this is after your year.
Yeah, and this is,
drink
and this
your
is,
wine and relax. You know what I'm saying? I'm being serious, Dr. Drew.
Because
eventually you will feel like boning again,
yes, yes.
But you got to fake
it
till you
that,
make it.
I understand when the biology is shut down, how aversive it can be.
Oh,
yeah,
it's the worst.
It literally, like, you look at people kissing, going, "What are they? Why do they do that?" You know, and so that's how you know the biology is down. If you look at other people and it looks kind of weird, but to be of service to your partner is not that hard, and it ends up being something that you typically kind of enjoy. And you also have to. There's like a care and feeding of husbands.
Yeah, you know, and I hate to be Dr. Laura on it,
yeah,
but the bitch is right about that. Like, you got it. You got a bone, and you got to keep that bed marital. You got to get the damn kids out of the bed, man. That's the only way, right?
Yes, yes,
because
yes,
I always hear that. We sleep with our children, and the husband sleeps on the couch.
Oh, no, no,
that's
no,
the
no.
beginning to the second part, which is we're filing for a divorce.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Yes. Though first, the breast implants, then the divorce.
You told me that when a woman gets the breast implants,
it's staging. Staging for divorce.
Staging for divorce. God, I love you. Okay, next voicemail. I want to get your questions in.
And don't write me about the breast implants. I know it's, generally speaking, I've seen that.
Generally, he's saying in his experience.
Yes, I've seen a lot of that.
You've seen a lot of
question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Recently divorced, almost exactly Christina's age. What do you think the chances of hooking up with Christina as my new second wife? What do you think?
I think zero. I think zero.
0.0,
like,
but I'm flattered.
Seriously, exactly zero. Zero.
I really love my
husband.
Exactly
zero.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No, I love Tommy.
Yes, but she appreciates the gesture.
Are you 23?
All of you send your, you like 23-year-olds?
Puerto Rican? Okay.
You like that too? You want something very different?
I love Puerto Rican.
Wow.
That's my secret jam, but.
Interesting.
I don't know. Tommy's got that Latin. Like when he tans a little, I'm like, you look Puerto Rican. I like it.
Wow,
okay,
you
come
have
on,
a
next
vivid
question.
Imagination.
Go, Nadav.
Hi, Jeans and Dr. Drew.
Jeans?
I'm 11 weeks pregnant and a first-time mommy. It's still too early to know the gender, but I was wondering what your thoughts are on circumcision. My husband and I are leaning towards not circumcising, but I just wanted to know your professional opinion.
Yeah. So,
thank you.
Yes.
Homie on out.
So do as you please. What'd she say?
Homie on out. It's a YMH shout out.
Homie on out. One I hadn't learned yet.
That's Robert Paul Champagne.
Oh.
I'm home here now.
Oh, home here now.
He goes, I'm home
here now. I thought she said homie on out.
Well, right, but there was a debate whether it was homie on out or
I'm home here now. I know.
Yeah, clearly,
duh. I communicate with him through Instagram. I know I have all kinds of special codes I use with him. Are you kidding me?
That's right.
Have everyone recovered from their visit to New York, by the way? And why? They didn't invite me for that trip. I can't even believe it. But next
one.
You would have
blown his mind.
Next trip, I think we got.
I mean, Drew, you're going to New York in like a month.
Yes.
Careful what you wish for, bud. We'll send you over.
Oh, I am deadly serious about it. I am quite.
Go for it. What's going on there?
You're laughing. I'm going.
Well, you know the address.
And I'm
going to
show up dressed like Colonel Sanders when I show up at the door. That's what. I want that job, and I've got to show my goods.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know the reference, it's Robert Paul Champagne, a guy who put a video on the internet saying he wants to mess with, F black guys out of jail.
Right.
And
he was my opening volley at your mom's house. He was what you guys showed me first.
That was the beginning.
It was the very beginning.
Sorry.
And Tom was like, how about this guy? Anything wrong with him? And I got sad.
Yeah, you always get sad when we show you clips.
He made me sad. And now I've gotten used to him.
Yeah.
And I want to go visit him.
I can't wait.
I'm going to have tea with him.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Circumcision.
Okay, so
circumcision.
What's
your deal? Yes, go ahead.
Do as you please. I'm not taking a position. I'm not telling you what to do. But there are very significant health benefits to doing it.
Really?
Internationally, there's a major push to have it done on everywhere because males that are circumcised have lower STDs, lower HPV, lower transmission of HIV. So it is significant. And the head of the CDC has been pushing for this for a long time, that we could impact on the transmission of certain STDs by just circumcising men, and particularly HIV and AIDS. So that's being advocated around the world. The other thing is, something you've never seen is a phimosis. Look up phimosis. These guys have seen it because
no,
we had a long conversation about it. They'll show you, there it is, here it comes.
Oh no.
pH, there you go. It's very common, it happens a lot. And let's get a good phimosis picture. There's one on the lower right there.
Right.
Well, that's not really it. It's too good. The point is, there it is there. See how on the left, the head of the penis can't come out of the sheath? And when it does come out, it's strangulating like it is on the right, the paraphimosis there. And it's extremely uncomfortable. And the more you sort of work it out, the more it tears, and the more it scars, the more it narrows. Oh. So it is one of the leading reasons for adults to get circumcisions. And it's no bueno as an adult. It's kind of unpleasant. And kids, it's anesthetized. They don't feel anything. It's a nothing burger. Don't talk about it. The kids are hurt. No.
Well, my second boy, they put a ring around his peener when he was born. Yeah. And it just
falls off.
Deadens the skin over time. And he didn't feel a thing.
Right.
So
that's
it's painless.
Way to do it.
Wow, good to know. Yeah, we did our
Did you bury it in the backyard?
And I ate it.
That's the other thing. Eat it or bury it in the backyard.
Sifted through my bowel movements to keep it for him.
Yeah, of course. Then you made a ring out of it.
Hi, Christina, queen of the mommies. I have a question for Dr. Drew. I have a daughter who is 7 years old, and she is already a bit puffy in the chest area, so certain shirts she wears, she needs a sports bra.
I was
just wondering if that was normal for her age.
Seven.
I have heard something about a hormonal shot that females can get to delay it if they start developing a little early.
I didn't know if
I needed.
No. So actually age 8, I believe now is the average age. This is peri-puberty. This is pre-pubertal stuff. So it's a little bit of breast development, a little bit of pubic hair. It's really not puberty. That's 11, 12. That's later.
Yeah, because I do recall around 8 or 9, just a little puffiness and like a little training bra situational.
Yes.
Eight.
Now, she's a little early at 7. You should talk to a pediatrician. There are conditions that can be serious that can cause pre-pubertal development. But I'm going to guess this is normal, and let her be normal, her normal genetic self. Don't interfere with it, I'm going to say. Now, what's really interesting in all this is that, let's say she does get breast development by the time she's 11 or something or 12. Kids are terrible.
Oh, yeah. Got them big old titties at 11. You know how much
God.
People are going to call her a slut and everything just because she has big breasts.
Which is so crazy. Silly. It's awful. Heartbreaking. So just prepare for all that if that all happens. So.
And get her a good support bra. Go get her measured. Go down to Nordstrom. Get her measured properly and get her a supportive one. Don't get her these flimsy Victoria's Secret nonsense. Take it from me, old quadruple D's. You got to start early and get the good ones. The beige, ugly, underwire mom bras.
And then there's a manufacturer out near me in Sangre Valley called the Wizard of Bra. I always love that place.
Clever.
The Wizard of Bras. But any event, but do talk to the pediatrician. Do talk to the pediatrician.
Yes. Also, isn't there an HPV vaccine for boys now?
Yes.
And girls? 100%.
Everybody get it. As soon as they approved it for males, I got the approval from my kid's pediatrician. I gave it to my sons. I couldn't give it fast enough.
Fantastic.
Prevents cancer. It's the only vaccine we have that prevents cancer. Oof. And what we're seeing in the non-vaccinated population, marked increase in head and neck cancers from HPV, anal cancers, penile cancers, and cervical cancers. And that can all be prevented with a vaccine.
Well, the vaccine.
Oh, my God. Don't even start me. I've been screaming about this for years.
My kid got whooping cough, pertussis, and not my kid's vaccinated. And the doctor goes, well, that you happens. Can still get it. Yeah, it happened. I'm like, well, why am I vaccinating mine?
I just retook my whooping cough because it's been out. It's been in the community quite a bit.
Yes, I know.
It's we are set up for a major infectious disease problem in this
Please
area.
Don't tell me. Oh, for God's
my
sake.
My son got typhus.
That was like a plague disease. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a medieval? Okay, next voicemail because we're going to lose Dr.
We have a typhus outbreak here.
Stop, please. Yeah. I'm going to get
control. Hi, Mommy and Dr. Drew. Hey. This is Jessica from Pennsylvania. My question for Dr. Drew is it a good or a bad idea to be naked in front of my 8-month-old daughter? Yeah. I just thought it's not for extended periods of time. I'm not walking around the house all day naked.
Why not,
it's just
though?
If I'm changing and I want to keep an eye on her, if I'm getting out of the shower and she's in the room with me. My husband thinks it's going to be scarring to her, and I thought it would be promoting body positivity and being comfortable in your own skin.
Right.
But I also don't want to scar her.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. So it's a balance. It's a balance between... It's really all about boundaries, right? How do you establish boundaries? The 8-month-old, I'm not going to see the here nor there. Why does it say mom fails ruined orgasm up there?
Oh, we're going to play it for
you. Don't get ahead of yourself.
Don't get ahead.
Okay,
we're getting there.
You're saving
That's
for that.
That's the finale. Yeah. Okay. That one's amazing.
Oh, my God. Well, so, but it's all about boundaries and when you start establishing more and more firm boundaries. Naked in front of 8-month-old is non-issue. No. It's a non-issue. I'm to about age 2-ish is about where it really starts. You know, you don't want to be showering. It's like a little bit weird at that point.
What if it's the same-sex parent showering with the child?
I mean, I don't have, there are no really firm boundary guidelines on this. You just have to kind of navigate your way through depending on your family and what. And some people want to stay naked around their kids in the name of body positivity. I'm not sure that's a good idea either because it's just too... It's intrusive.
Yeah, it's too much for their. It's overwhelming.
Little brains. Yeah,
for them.
It's your stuff. You're pushing upon them.
Yes.
As opposed to we maintain some modesty. Just think in terms of modesty and boundaries. That's what you're trying to maintain.
So can I pee in front of my 3-year-old still? Probably not. I don't let him see my stuff.
Time to start. Yeah, it's time to start.
He's potty training.
It's all right. It's all right. But it's time to start. Like I shut the door when I have the bathroom.
Yes. Blah, 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 blah. He does that thing. Hey.
Yeah,
hey,
and you can a little
Lock
bit.
It.
Just, he'll get it.
God.
It's fine.
Okay. Next.
You don't
one.
Have to slam boundaries down on your kid.
Slam it. Wait. Yeah.
Hi, Mommy Christina and Mommy Dr. Drew.
Ooh, I'm a mom.
I have a daughter that will be 2 in September. She has a bit of a speech delay, and her pediatrician recommended getting her into a birth to 3 program. And speech therapy.
A what?
But it's become a point of contention in our home.
Birth to 3 program? Does that sound like something?
What is she?
Her 2-year-old has a speech delay, and the doctor wants to have her tested and put into a program.
Okay.
The father doesn't want to do it, and this woman.
Why wouldn't you?
Program and speech therapy. But it's become a point of contention in our home as my husband leans on the side of she's fine, nothing is wrong. And all kids develop at their own pace. Stop trying to diagnose her. Well, I want to agree with him. I don't know. I don't want to be in denial of her delay and the possibility of autism.
Ooh.
I want to get her some help before preschool, and I can't tell if I'm truly being a crazy mom and pushing unrealistic expectations on a toddler, but figure a little extra help couldn't hurt. What are your thoughts on early childhood development, milestones, and have you had any personal experiences with this?
Oh, my goodness.
Thanks.
Well, I have had personal experience because triplets delay.
No kidding.
Trip, they do not speak until they're about two. And my daughter's a writer now. You know what I mean? You know
what I mean? And so, usually boys are slower than girls.
Yeah. Yeah. And triplets are slow. They just were slow. I remember we had a group, we had some four-year-olds over and they were about two and they were going, when are they going to talk? Why aren't they talking? We're like, oh, slow. And, but I'm a big advocate for intervention. I mean, the earlier you intervene, the better the outcomes are in all things developmental and brain, all things brain. The more you get involved, the more you intervene, the better the outcomes. So there's sort of no reason. I mean, you're not treating her as impaired. You're treating her as, it's all done
What's
through
the harm is what you're saying.
No harm.
Right.
It's all done through play therapies and things. It's his ego that's in the way. Mm-hmm. He can't acknowledge that my daughter might be impaired. I don't know if she is or she isn't, but be realistic. This woman sounds very realistic.
I think the dad does want the testing in the classes. I think she's the one that doesn't want
to Oh, I thought it was
be,
the other way around. I got the other way around. Anyway, whatever it is, the
just
parent.
Just fucking do it is what you're saying.
Be realistic.
Can't hurt.
Yes.
Okay, and let's finish off with the final, the coup de grace. Is that what that word? The
coup
saying?
De grace. Coup de grace.
Please listen to this.
Now it's time for a round of mom fails.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Super fails.
Hi, Mommy Tina. First time, long time. It's Norm from San Antonio. I have a mommy-daddy fail for you. Me and my wife decided it was sexy times one night. And my five-year-old son was sleeping on the floor next to the bed, but it was sexy times. So we were getting it on, and right when I was getting to the point where I was almost done and I was ready to splooge, I heard a tiny voice by the bed say, "Daddy, what's that washing noise?" And it totally ruined my moment.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Anyway,
so
that's my...
So sorry,
right?
I ruined your orgasm. That's a boo-hoo. Look at her. That's a do that.
I can't come when my five-year-old's sleeping in the same room.
But that should have been the five-year-old on the floor next door. Should have been no sexy time. No good. No bueno sexy time. Now humans.
Thank you.
Humans have often had sex around each other, you know, through history and stuff. But it doesn't mean it's good. It's not good. It's not.
I agree. So, because I actually get a lot of these mom fails or dad fail emails where they say our child is sleeping in the same room. We're having sex, and then
no.
Like no.
No.
Why are you fucking in front of your kids?
Don't do that.
You lunatic.
It's not good. And I've seen lots of adults who get like voyeuristic and stuff. They were exposed to that stuff when they were kids.
That's why, yeah.
And get a little hypersexualized and stuff. It's just not good for us. Not good.
Lock your doors. That's another one. The kids who walk
just
in on you.
A little bolt
door.
Lock or, you know, just a little barrel bolt. You know,
yeah,
something.
Dude. It's
85 cents.
Yeah, bro. Do not let your children see you having sex. And by the way, I don't know how you're even getting aroused when your kid, like when my babies are near me. I'm not aroused.
Men.
Sorry, I forget you guys are animals,
men.
Primates.
And none of we animals. We talked about this at your mom's house. We go bad because of it too. We just get sick. We start swimming in cesspools and stuff.
What is wrong with you guys?
It's this mechanism. It's this biology. It makes them crazy.
And I know because you work with the human race.
I'm telling you, the human race, and nothing crazier than sexuality in men. It just goes. It pops out in various bizarre ways.
You guys are disgusting. Okay,
we are.
I want you to hear one more. Sorry, I do have one more for you. This one's pretty amazing too.
Okay.
Hi, Christina Pazinski. My name is Lauren. I'm a huge fan of you.
Thank you.
And recently, just a couple of days ago, I had the biggest mom fail of my life.
Uh-oh.
My daughter's a year old, and to celebrate, I decided to get some whippets. To do, and
as everyone
I was
does.
Doing these whippets on the other side of the gate. My husband was watching our daughter, and he got the bright idea for me to put two cartridges and one big, like, something balloon. So I was like, yeah, that's a great idea, honey. So I did it, and then I came to, and my husband was slapping me in the face because I straight, like, landed on our baby gate, like, belly first, and then flipped the gate, and then knocked my big globe that's made out of crushed rock like 2 inches from where my daughter was sitting. So like I literally almost killed my baby
because
I
laughing.
Wanted to like have a minute to myself. But
well,
again,
I had a minute
I'm
to myself.
Guys,
gonna suck up some nitrous oxide.
Find that story as funny as I've learned to.
I thank God you did not kill your daughter or yourself.
Right.
It's not so funny.
I mean, so for people who don't know what whippets are, Dr. Drew, what is a whippet?
They essentially are propellants, right? And the ones you want are the nitrous ones.
Yeah, I've done those in college. Yeah. Those fry your brain.
Not the nitrous, not so much. The hydrocarbons do. The hydrocarbons.
Well, whatever. It's when I used to buy it at the head shop in San Francisco, and you have a cracker, you put it in the balloon, and then you huff it, and it's like you're in Legoland.
Wah, 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 and then there's hydrocarbons. Hydrocarbons, bad times.
Yeah, like, bro. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, you got to choose better drugs.
He's got more for us, too.
Do you want to?
Let's keep going.
Can we lecture her on taking Whippets, or are we not going to lecture
her on that's drug abuse, not drug addiction. You know what I mean? Because you don't really get it. I've seen a case of nitrous addiction, but you don't typically get addicted to that. And it was a dentist.
They have
and they get an ascending polyneuropathy, like a Guillain-Barré-like syndrome, and the guy couldn't walk.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Well, no, I don't.
And they get encephalopathic. They get really super crazy.
Cephalopathic.
Encephalopathic.
Encephalitis. Brain cray.
Confused. Like the brain isn't working right.
I love it. Yeah. Do you have anything you would like to share with the women?
A normal mom fail?
Let's do a normal mom fail. Good.
Hey, Christina. My name is Jody. I'm from Northwest Iowa. This actually happened a few weeks ago. I was in my car pumping because I have a 30-minute commute, and I rear-ended somebody. Luckily, there was no damage, but I asked the lady come over to me because I was yelling out my window, can you please go over here because I'm pumping? So she saw my tits and all. It was pretty great. Bye.
I think she's pretty great.
Yeah,
I like
right?
this. That's not a fail.
That's not a fail either.
That's like an extraordinary, it's a hero.
What that is a time saver, because I tried doing that a few times, pumping and driving. It's really hard. I mean, I don't know how she's doing
it. Can't you go one side and then the other? You have to go both sides at once?
No, you do one side or the other, but you're driving at the same time, and you got to make sure it's, you know, suctioned on properly.
It seems dangerous.
Quite a thing.
Doesn't it affect your awareness and stuff, too? It's a little bit soothing, kind of.
Oh, it's relaxing. Yeah, it chills you out.
And so isn't that kind of technically driving under the influence?
Oh, my Lord. Now you're taking it to a whole new level. How
about that?
All right, next.
My name is Amanda, and my mom's fail is I had my 2-year-old daughter in Walmart, and I grabbed like a glass Starbucks drink and put it in the cart, and my daughter threw it on the ground in line, and everybody behind us had to move. And if that wasn't embarrassing enough, she started to scream, "Oh, fuck, oh, fuck."
Mommy always says that.
That's right.
That was the fail part. Well, don't say fuck around your kids. Yeah, whatever you say around your kids, you will hear it back.
I know. I know. Hey, let me ask you one thought. Yeah. Kids on social media. Yeah. How do you feel about people posting their children on social media?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, isn't it?
Yes.
I fortunately didn't have to deal with that.
Now time for some hot mom goss.
Oh, my God. Did you hear? Wow. About what?
Wow. Hot mom goss. That's what this is. Topic is.
I see it at the top of the page. Hot mom goss.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
I think we're going to have a whole generation of kids that are pissed about it.
I think so, too. Yeah, I agree.
Because it's non-consensual, public.
I agree. You know, and especially from the minute they're conceived. I mean, there's photographs of you as an embryo.
But I think the way maybe to, I don't know if people would do this, but you have maybe just have like closed Facebook or closed Instagram just for your family and friends. That's it.
I agree.
And then you share it with people that matter, and that's that. Shouldn't be sharing this stuff with the public anyway.
Not that. Not your children. I'm very against that. Yes. Yeah.
And you have these Aryan beauties, though.
My children are so beautiful.
Don't you want to share them with everybody?
Oh, my gosh. No. They're just, I keep
it's
them
a super
in the house.
Race.
They are. They really are the best looking children. All right. We got one more from Mr. Drew.
Cool moms.
Sorry, I was a little late on that one.
Not a regular
cool
mom.
I get a little nervous when everything cool is coming my way.
Nothing cool on this show, I guarantee.
Okay. Hi, Mama Jean. My name is Nicole, and I have two mom fails from the day that my daughter was born. First one was I got the epidural, went to sleep, and the nurse woke me up to tell me that my child was coming out of my vagina without me knowing. So they were rushing to get everything ready, and she kind of literally just slid out. So now the joke is that I have a loose JJ. The second thing is when she was about 2 days old in the hospital, they also gave me an oxycodone for the pain that I was going through after giving birth. And as I was holding her, I accidentally whacked her head on the side of the baby, like that clear nursery bed that they give you. Yeah. I whacked her head on that. And then I just started laughing that this is going to be my life as a mom. So I hope you enjoy those stories and keep those jeans high and tight. All right. Bye, Mama.
Thank you.
I like the way she punctuates things like my loose vagina. It's just me. It's just...
Well, how does that happen when you have an epidural? Yes, you're numb. And
I feel
just,
anything. So it comes out.
They just didn't.
Yeah,
they
weren't probably tracking her. Probably wasn't her first baby. That's fine.
Yeah, and the nurses probably weren't checking regularly enough, and then it can happen. It can fall out of you.
You can come quick, yeah.
Yeah.
But good. Love her. Not a fail.
No, not a fail. It's just a
normal,
survive.
Normal yeah, surviving
shit.
As a parent.
I feel like I hit my kid's head on stuff accidentally.
I had such a traumatic experience with my own son. I can't even think
about
it.
What happened?
Oh.
Oh, no.
I hate to relive
don't.
It. He
Let's
had.
Do it for my show. Relive it.
He had.
Entertain people. Go ahead. Sell advertising.
He had a. We finally went at age one. We went finally went on a trip to Las Vegas. We brought two nannies with us because that's the only way we could move around. And I was outside the room. I went and worked out, and I hear this noise, and then I hear a ba-boom, and I hear Susan starting to yell, and I run in there, and there is one of our sons unconscious.
No.
He jumped on the bed and flew off and hit his head.
No.
Unconscious with really not a pulse.
No.
And got the paramedics and came in. And long story short, he had something called an arachnoid cyst that when he hit his head, it hit up against his brainstem and he lost all his vital function.
Stop.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so that was horrific.
Oh,
there's a lot to
God.
Tell you there. But fast forward, we got the surgery. They fenestrate the cyst so it no longer expands, so it's not an issue anymore. Kid played football, and he's in law school now, and everything's fine.
Thank God.
But about, oh my God, this is awful. About 3 weeks after his surgery, I was holding him. He still had like staples in his head. And I was trying to deal with one of the other ones, and he flipped out of my arm, and he flipped in the air and landed on his head. And then vomited.
Oh,
and
no.
I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. I'm going to kill myself.
No.
I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah.
I really felt like I needed to, take something and poke it in my
eye. Yes, I know.
Everything turned out fine, but it was a questionable couple hours. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
That is so traumatic. And there's no
so
guilt,
awful.
Like, dropping your child or
oh, my God, it was so awful.
Something happens
and
on your watch. I know. That's okay, Drew. I forgive you. Anyway. I forgive you. Do you figure
it's out? Now time for How I Almost Killed My Kid This Week.
No, you won. You won this week of I Almost Killed My Kid. Nobody's going to top that story. That's the ultimate I Almost Killed My Kid.
It was so awful. It was so beautiful.
I know. I know. But I thank you for sharing. And
so
now
you
just made, but you made everybody listening feel way less guilty.
The point is, when she
talked
about dropping her kid on the head, I'm like, we all drop our kids on our head.
We all drop our children.
I just happened to do it 3 weeks after brain surgery. It's
I love you so much. Oh my gosh.
It was so the most awful feeling I've ever had.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
Other than the other one, when I think about these feelings, is when Susan started to die after the delivery. That was also an awful feeling.
How are you dealing with all this trauma? This is so much with children. Did you have a fucked up time when you started to become a parent? Did it all come back?
My fucked up shit for my childhood?
Yeah.
I had chronic grinding abuse, and so I could take a lot,
I think. Yes,
yes.
Yeah. Will we come back? Will you
talk
about it next time?
My therapy and all that stuff?
You didn't no, we have more to talk about next time. Okay, next time you're coming back. Thank you so much for joining Dr. Drew. Please check out Dr. Drew After Dark. Every Thursday morning, it's released, the audio, and then videos Friday at noon on YouTube. DrDrewAfterDark@gmail.com.
Please
check
it out. It's so good. It's so fun.
It's
I appreciate
such a great
being
show.
Able to do it with you guys.
Oh,
so,
I adore you. Thank you for being in Studio Jeans and being a part of everything we do here. All right, guys, until next time, where my mom's at? Stay cool, moms.
Where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's at?
Where my mom's at?